Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us on Leading Together. So this is a bonus episode that's going to be a little different from our normal one. Something Mikey and I have been talking about is that although we want to continue having our weekly podcasts where we recap the sermon and talk about what it looks like to explore that more in a community setting, we'd love to also tell more stories about what's going on with our existing GCs and maybe talk more about the joys and sometimes challenges that can arise within gospel communities. So I'm excited because here we have the one and only John G, who I happen to be married to, who I share a last name with.
Hello.
Also have Alan Smithson and Janet Bourne.
Hi.
Hello.
And the four of us, up until recently, co-led storytellers, our gospel community, which we keep saying 3.5 years. It was closer to 4 years. Closer to 4.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I think we kicked off in like
started in like summer,
fall of 2021. Yeah. So just recently, storytellers reached an important milestone, right?
Yeah, it's really bittersweet. Like you said, it's been a group that we've been with for 4 years. So we've been seeing each other on a weekly basis for a really long time now. And that structure and that consistency with having certain people in your life that you get to see on a regular basis is really meaningful, especially when it's a gospel community and you have this singular thing that your life is about that you have in common. And then suddenly when it's like, oh, okay, I'm not going to see certain people of our group anymore on a weekly basis, it's really sad. So it's a really hard thing to go through. But also there's a lot of where is God leading us? What's going to happen next? There is a little bit of anxiousness that comes along with that. Also some excitement.
Yeah.
And I was like talking to Alan about that. What was like a week ago, I was like, and it was a wonderful, beautiful community. And we just chose to end it.
Just axed it.
Alan was wonderful in terms of reminding me that this is part of the organic process. And it's what God wants from the process because it has to shift and grow. And it's not about our own personal security and personal comfort, right? And it's about the gospel.
But I think when we came to Element and we were looking initially for a gospel community, there was a consumeristic mindset that we had of like, we are trying to fill something in our life. Like we are trying to get community out of this. And that's certainly a wonderful thing about gospel community that, you know, we get to be a part of other people's lives and you get to have all the benefits of that. But I think we have shifted away from that and started going towards more of where is God leading us so that we can fill other people's lives as well. Not just, okay, we're trying to get what we want from this, but also how can we give in a way that's meaningful and God-led as opposed to just our own needs.
So before we talk more about what's ahead for all of us, I'd love for you guys to share just more of your story.
I grew up in, I would say small groups are always Bible study. It was very much like you get together, you talk about the Bible, and then before and after you chat and like can like talk to each other. But like the main meeting, the purpose of it was, okay, we're going to discuss the Bible, which is wonderful and great. But I had that mindset of like, okay, talking with each other and accessing and figuring out what the Bible is all very heady. And it's almost, it creates this separation from you and the rest of your life where it's not necessarily, I'm living out the gospel in my everyday life. It affects everything, but more of like, okay, this is something I do on Wednesday nights when we get together, we get the Bibles out, you know, you have the cover for the Bible, you write the notes and all that stuff. I remember getting in trouble when I was younger because at the end of one of the things, I like threw away the notes. And I was like, I'm done with this.
Yes.
I'm not going to look at this again, Alan, which I didn't.
How dare you be done with the Bible?
I threw away the Bible.
That was just the notes.
Just the notes.
That's the headline we're going to take away from this.
I burned the Bible. Great.
You really come a long way since then.
Long way. But there was this mindset that I had that very much of like, okay, there is a firm separation between, okay, when you're studying the Bible and when you're not. And I think gospel living and when we came to Element, that line started to blur more and more and more where, you know, you start to recognize every relationship you have, whether it's a Christian with a Christian or anybody else, or it's something particularly at work, there is nothing that the gospel doesn't necessarily affect or touch into in some sort of way.
Yeah, I think there's like a, like in a lot of like Christian culture, at least the Christian culture that I kind of grew up with, it felt very separate. It's like you do Bible study, and it's like it's just like time for Bible, but at the same time it was also like very legalistic, so you were expected to follow like all these like specific rules and like regulations, and that was like how well you followed rules and regulations was kind of like representative of like how good of a Christian you were, right? And there was those kind of like expectations. So I feel like there was a lot of that kind of when I grew up. And something about like the gospel community model, like kind of like Alan was just saying, is like not just about Bible study, and Bible study is part of it, but also just kind of thinking about how is your entire life being touched on by the gospel. I think it was like Aaron was talking about it not too long ago, right? It's like looking through like the glasses, like looking through
the lens.
Yeah, exactly.
See, Aaron, we do remember things.
Right, see, look at this, Aaron.
But ask us again a week later.
You know, you're like, gospel community is an opportunity for you to like live with other people who are all trying to look through the lens of like the gospel in your life. Mm-hmm. And for me, redemption groups was like a huge turning point in my life to kind of relooking at my faith and trying to actually really understand the gospel.
When I think about GC, the most impactful thing for me is I got to see the gospel actually applied in to all the different spaces of life. Alan was talking a little bit earlier about how it felt like there was a different space to kind of engage with the Bible historically, and then you're kind of done and you just go about your life. And I operated that way most of my life, and I've been in gospel communities at Element for a while now. But what's really stood out to me is how I have taken like the wounding of legalism and behavior and performance into gospel community. It led me not to always fully engage or potentially hide. And then I had some things in my life come out that were devastating and sinful, and that veil was completely torn in the light of the gospel community. And so what I mean by that was I couldn't just have this one space where I was like, hey, everything's going great. My whole community saw me struggle in a way that I have not ever struggled before. And through that, I experienced shame and isolation early on. But then I was met with like profound grace, forgiveness. And through that experience of people attuning to me and loving me the way God loves me during my worst moments, it completely changed my paradigm about what the gospel is. I had it contained in such a small area, and in reality, God is so much bigger than any type of performance, any type of thing, and it has just led me to become so much more free. And I don't think I would have gotten that in a regular Bible study, because mm-hmm. there wouldn't have been this emphasis on like we're actually doing life together. Mm-hmm. My tendency would have been to just like hide. But I was like really grateful that the community like spoke into my life, that the gospel became and is still becoming more real than it's ever become. And almost every week I'm still discovering how big God's love is.
Yeah, I know it's so weird. It was such like a hard season for us. And yeah, when I think back, I was thinking about this when we had like our final storytellers gathering. I think those were like the sweetest moments, not because I was reveling in the pain of it, but just seeing the value and strength of community of people who really came alongside us and were committed to like walking through just a really rocky time and pointing us back to the gospel and offering encouragement. it was just such a sweetness. I think it's in moments like that, you just, it reveals how powerful that can be and like why that is such a provision I think we're called to have. Mm-hmm.
And I want to make it clear that like community was like healing, but it was not the healing factor.
Right.
It was like God's like overflowing love that like transformed that community.
Yeah.
That allowed me to like experience his grace in a different way.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's something with gospel communities where it's like, it can be really easy to stop at kind of the community part of it. And I think one of the challenges as leaders is to kind of remind or try to bring people back and remind people that though there is like the gospel part before like the community, mm-hmm. and that's what's mm-hmm. actually makes it like, that's what makes it life-changing, because that's what, how that speaks to what God is speaking to us.
Yeah. Or I'd love to hear more from you too, Janet and Alan, just during that time. So we stepped back from a time kind of like a sabbatical for like 5 months just to heal and really attend to some things that we needed to. And so that really, I think for you guys, definitely came out of the blue. We were not expecting to be thrust into this position where all of a sudden you were bearing really the weight of leadership. Like we had pretty, I don't know. I feel like we kind of had equally like mm-hmm. shouldered leadership up until that time fairly well. And then all of a sudden it was on you guys. But I look back from my vantage point, just like how much I think that facilitated you guys growing in confidence. But mm-hmm. I'd love to hear from your perspective what that was like.
There's a certain amount of like, we talk a lot as leaders is like the first thing. And this is true in education too. Like modeling is the first thing you do. Like mm-hmm. how do you do this thing? And for, to be a GC leader, that's a very vulnerable place that you have to go to, because you have to talk about your sin. You have to talk about where you fail. You have to talk about stuff that is automatically humbling that you don't necessarily want to think about all the time, even for yourself. And then you have to share it with a room of people. Mm-hmm. And I think back at that, and of course I was doing that. I was being vulnerable in our group before that, but mm-hmm. I think you guys do a really good job of modeling that. And I was stepping into that more, and it wasn't necessarily easy for me. Not that it's easy for anybody, but it's one of those things. It's like the gospel is something you can practice, and that you can practice mm-hmm. confessing. You can practice dealing with your sin and actually exposing it and saying, this is who I am. And this is, you know, this is how God redeems me, and actually practice that with other people mm-hmm. by displaying that and being proud of it, because that's our story and God redeems us, and not hiding away from it or being ashamed of it. And so when you guys step back from leadership, I remember taking that and being like, okay, now I have to actually more commit to that concept and actually be vulnerable on a regular basis, as mm-hmm. opposed to, oh, I can chime in when I'm a little bit more comfortable, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But then once you're doing it more regularly, you it's not like it's easy anymore,
right.
but it's never easy to like,
you heard it here from
here's
Alan
my
first.
Heart and here's, here's what's going on in my life. And here's how I feel ashamed. Like that's never an easy thing to, discuss and talk about with a group of people, especially because you don't know how they're going to react, and you don't know if you're going to be necessarily met with grace from the group. You know where God's going to come from that with though, and so you know that it is safe no matter what, but it's still a hard space to enter into. But then doing that more often just made me at least feel a lot more comfortable doing it. And like I said, it's something you get to practice, and then you get to believe it more, if that makes sense. The more you do it, the more you're like, I am safe.
This is actually true about me.
Yeah.
Because doing it more is like kind of trust, right? It's like that trusting God. So as you do it, you're trusting
God. You step out into it.
Yeah. And then, you know, God shows up and it helps with like the trust even more, right? Hmm. Yeah. I remember that being scary. I remember it being hard. But I also do think it was actually a time of growth for both of us, because... Yeah. Not only in terms of like leadership skills or whatever, but in terms of just trusting God that he will lead this community. And that's something that has taken me a long time. I think that's been a hard part of like my GC leadership development growth that God said had taught me. Cause like, I remember starting out with those, like at the beginning of Storytellers 2.0, kind of feeling like, well, I have to do this and I have to like get it right. And it's all about me and like my actions and like my effort. Mm-hmm. like, I have to try really hard and I have to try harder. And there were moments where like that, like I really had a lot of, I don't know, like there was a lot of sinful patterns there where like people would compliment Alan on his GC leadership like ability. And I'd be like, I just have to try harder.
That guy, I'm taking him down.
Like, I have to be better than that guy. And you know, but it's not actually about like, we can't have control over it in the way we want, like, or at least I want to. And so it's about not so much about our efforts, but about like the spirit leading through us.
Yeah.
And I think that was a moment of real growth, at least for me, in terms of having to trust that the spirit would do that, that God would do that.
So we have been in conversation about replanting for almost half of our GC experience at Storytellers.
And why is that, John?
We have a lot of people and even more children. So I think if...
I like that children are in a separate category. Yeah,
they're a subcategory.
They are.
They matter.
We have the people and then we have the children.
But it's an important distinction. I think like adults, we had like... 20 something adults, if everyone came.
Yeah.
And then maybe 20 to 30 children.
Yeah.
If everyone came.
Yeah.
And we would all meet together in the same space. And it was loud and chaotic. And our group was perpetually both vulnerable and overstimulated. And we wouldn't be able to.
Just a really fun space to live in.
To like follow or track conversations. So just the sheer size of our group, we knew we had to kind of divide and be sent in different directions. We just didn't know what that would look like or how. We've been really blessed with a community that had a lot of members, but that created the drive to go.
Yeah, I think that just coupled also with seeing the very real need Element has, you know, obviously me being on staff and that being part of my role, oftentimes just hearing about people wanting to get involved in gospel community and being like, where do I send you? Or a family reaches out and they, you know, they happen to mention, oh, we have five kids, and panic ensues. Like, how do we welcome you into a community? Oh,
yeah. And I do think we did end up attracting so many people with kids because we had a very kid-friendly time because it was like Sunday afternoon.
And that was intentional, right? Yeah. Right. So but I feel like that's a factor in just your group growing very quickly.
Yeah, I remember very specifically realizing that we had a need to plant new GCs when there was a family that talked to me after a service of like, hey, we're looking for maybe a GC, and they had like three kids, and I was like, I do not want to invite you to our GC. Like, we don't have the capacity.
Nothing against you. Like, we'll break the system.
And they had like four kids, and it was like, yeah, that's gonna overdo it for us.
You guys went through GCDC, the cohort.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I guess it was around that time, maybe like around the end of that, having discussions with you guys and with Mikey, and just being very aware of the reality of Storytellers as well as Element's need. And so what was that like for you guys? Like, well, having those initial conversations?
I remember John being like, I think we need to split. And I went, no.
Can confirm.
It's a horrible idea, John. Next.
Terrible idea. And then both Alan and Michelle were like, I think we need to split. And I went, no. Then I was like, oh no, I do think we need to split.
I hate that word split, though.
I know.
Multiply. So what was going on at the heart level there, that resistance? It's not like I didn't have it either. I just, I think I had already processed so much internally when like presenting this to you guys. But what was going on with you there?
I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with like fear and my own like personal anxieties and issues of like, I don't want to say like abandonment, that's too strong of a word, but like my own issues of like attachment and like feeling like this is a strong community and like a safe community where we can like gospel each other and, you know, and just not wanting that to go away, because it was safe for me. Mm-hmm. It gave me like security. I didn't want that to leave. We have been in GC with you guys since like we came to Element, and the idea of not being in GC with you guys is really hard. And then there's a lot of other people in our GC that the idea of not being in GC with them was really hard, and I think threatened that feeling of like safety and security and attachment that I had slash have. And so I think that was a big part of my resistance. And I think that resistance stems from not trusting God, right? That's like kind of trusting in people and in myself to kind of like feel safe and secure. And that's a big part of what like our conversations.
She pointed at Alan.
Yes, our listeners. Conversations, but also I will say also our conversations, like the four of us, I think we spent a long time talking about it and talking through it, and that kind of helped.
So much of what you expressed during that time just resonated with me, and I think it just spoke to a lot of fears and challenges people have when you contemplate having to leave something that you love so much and to go out into this like new, uncomfortable, scary space. And you don't know exactly what God's going to do with it or who he's going to bring or what the dynamic's going to be like. I mean, all of that was very real. And I really appreciated how you wrestled with all of that. And you didn't isolate through that process. Like, you brought us into it, and you were very prayerful. And it was amazing to kind of see the journey of like that initial shock and resistance to like the softening of, oh, this could actually be good to you. I remember finally we had one conversation later down the road, and you were like very excited actually about this new GC idea you guys had, and just to see what God had done in your heart was incredible.
Yeah, no thanks. I think really God's really walked. This process has been hard for all of us.
Yeah.
And I think God's walked with all of us in it.
Yeah, I love this group so much. It's one of the first groups just of any kind that I have truly loved being a part of. I'm very prone to be anxious in groups and overwhelmed, and that existed for me. But as storytellers continued, I just started to become more and more comfortable with everyone in the group and comfortable with myself. And that scares me so much to lose and have to start over. But when I focus on kind of my own fears and my attachment wounding and my relational history with people, I don't want to move forward. But when my perspective goes to what God has done in storytellers, and he was not surprised by that process, and he goes before us, I feel like really excited for the next phase. Mm-hmm. And I think it's great for, at least for me, to be able to hold both, like the lament and also the joy and expectation that Jesus wants us to move forward.
It's part of why I wanted to share this story with other GC leaders. It's, I think oftentimes we have this fantasy of like, oh, this opportunity will open up for us to multiply or replant, and it will be so easy. And it's like, the truth is, there's, to a large degree, it's just going to suck. Like, it really is. It's a beautiful thing, but it's also just very costly because you have invested in this group and these relationships, and it's going to take you outside your comfort zone. And John knows this. Like, we were having coffee. So we had our last storytellers gathering Sunday night, and then like the next morning on Monday I woke up and I just had this like panic and this grief. I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is it. Like that was it. Like that chapter is over. Mm-hmm. And just being hit with the fear and grief, and yet that's where we press in just to the reality of like, Jesus is with us. Jesus is going before us. He's not surprised. Like he has always been the one to like lead and sustain gospel communities. Like, he's gonna do it again.
Yeah.
And we're gonna encounter new challenges as always, because life is challenging.
But yeah, I think there's also something with like at least the Christian culture that I grew up with, not like gospel culture, like kind of like Christian culture, where the expectation is, because it's gonna be good for the kingdom or it's gonna be good for God, you just have to like always be happy about it,
right?
Like, no matter what. And it's like, it's good for the kingdom, so just have joy. Just be happy. Like, you can say, like, this is good for God's kingdom, and this is good for, like, the spreading of the gospel, but also feel like a lot of sadness about what is happening in your life because of that. Grieves and laments with us too.
I think it's hard to keep the perspective of hindsight because we can look at our lives and go like, oh wow, that was extremely uncomfortable and terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, I really hated doing that. And then you can see where you've gone from it and you're like, oh, I've grown so much and all of these wonderful things have been blessed by God into my life. But when you're in the middle of it and God is pushing you towards a space that is uncomfortable, it's never comfortable just because you have that hindsight of the past things. It's still uncomfortable and you don't know where it's going to be in 5, 10 years or whatever down the road, because we can't see how God's working in the moment sometimes when we're just getting outside of our comfort zone and getting into a, going into a new space.
We've been transparent, obviously, about some of the hard feelings and like the emotional challenges for this process. But what is it that we're excited about, too? Because that is there. And I think that's a reality of this process for each of us.
Yeah. So the GC that we're launching is called Open House. It's going to be a space for, you know, gospel living and living life alongside each other. The missional focus is on the community and specifically educators and students and their families within the community. So the, in terms of
local schools,
like local schools. Yeah. So what we plan to do in terms of like service projects is to try to be really active with being involved in local schools in terms of PTAs and also community events and groups that are really connected to the local schools.
If you don't know me, I'm a local music teacher. So I'm at Alice Shaw and Ralph Dunlap, which is right in our community and the next door.
Famous.
I'm a little famous. Yes.
Your child will wave at him.
Once Malcolm got recognized at Trader Joe's from being in my COVID videos.
Yeah.
Like, I know that baby. I saw that in my son's music lesson. The idea and concept of Open House, I think, for me especially, and also Janet, just being in the education field and part of that nurturing, being around kids or young adults, is that that is a space that God has led us to for various different ways. And we are in that space and it's right next door to us. And that is a great stepping stone for that, for mission. It's to, you know, be a part of that community and be a part of the people's lives. And then as we, you know, be a part of their lives, we also get to share the gospel in small ways and big ways and all the different things. So that discomfort of sometimes being missional, it can be difficult, but seeing something that's really close to us and we have a heart for, and of course at this stage in our life too, we have a young kid. If you don't know Malcolm, he's a 5-year-old he's at Dunlap, and we have budding relationships with his classmates. I know his staff, you know, and we all have, and we've seen that in our community too, which is we have a lot of people that are also sharing in that community as well. And it can be easy to neglect that part of your life as in, oh, this is separate from my gospel community life. And then I go to school and it's different. And obviously we're not going into schools and sharing the gospel out loud and sort of a, oh, I'm going to preach from a pulpit kind of way in a classroom. Yeah. Obviously, there are lots of reasons why you shouldn't do that. But building relationships with those people and then inviting them into our home and then being a part of their lives and really caring about them and loving them and then also getting to share our stories with them, I think we have a heart for.
You mean having an open house to them?
There we go. I'm really excited about this. It seems like such a natural extension for both of you, I think, and just how God has led you so far and how you have really been established in the community. So tell us about kind of the structure of your gatherings, what you're intending at this point. And you guys launch in July, right?
Yes.
You're thinking?
We launch July
27th.
We're going to meet for discussion on the first and third Sunday of the month. On the first Sunday of the month, we'll share a meal together. And then the third Sunday of the month, we won't share a meal together. We'll just kind of get together for a shorter, kind of quicker discussion. And then on the second Sunday of the month, we'll, and it could, this could be on Sunday, it could be like on Friday or Saturday, would be a social event where we either meet maybe at somebody's house, but we could also meet like at a park or a playground, or if somebody's having like a soccer game, we could all meet together at the soccer game or something along those lines. But the point of that event would be social and an opportunity to invite people from outside the GC to that social event.
Could you guys tell us a little about Stronghold and what led you to that missional focus?
What about you guys, the G's?
Yeah, we have been thinking about Stronghold for a while. A large part of the storytellers community is Space Force or military associated families. And we have seen how they are really longing for meaningful community, but because they live on base and are transient in nature, it's hard to get plugged in consistently and feel involved and cared for. We have been in prayer about trying to find a mission, and God has really put it on me and Michelle's heart to try and reach and connect with the Space Force faith. We will be meeting two Sundays a month, the second and fourth. The second Sunday of the month is going to be right outside at Elements Playground after second service. And the idea behind that is people coming from base won't have to go back to base to then connect. They'll be there and we'll just be able to have lunch, hang out, grow as a community, learn about Jesus. And then the second meeting, so the fourth Sunday of the month, will actually be some location on the Space Force base. And the intention there is to both bring people in and become more accessible for the people on the base.
And so we've done that just to not only streamline logistics a bit, especially for having to get on base, which can be an ordeal, but also to create some space for more organic meetups or gatherings in between then. We'll hear from some military families in a bit that are part of Stronghold's core team. But something they really express is just how community events can be such a draw for those within the military. And to be clear, you know, this isn't a group just for military. We hope to see a lot of civilian families involved as well, because I think that integration and diversity is just such a healthy thing and can really expand kind of the bubble that those in the military often talk about as being so insular. And so trying to connect them, I think, to the broader community, like whether it's activities or events on the Central Coast, things that Element's hosting. I know around the holidays, we're really hoping to be a driving force for connecting those who are isolated on base to be able to connect to people in their homes and their holidays when they might not otherwise have a family gathering. I think there's just so many opportunities with our proximity. And I think it's really exciting, too, to think about, you know, with how often those in the military PCS to be able to have an intentional season where we're sharing life, we're equipping them, rooted in the gospel, and then essentially like sending them out, commissioning them to go elsewhere in the country or somewhere else in the world, like having had that experience. I think it could be really fruitful if we invest in an intentional way.
Same kind of thing for open house. You don't have to be like an educator. You don't have to be a teacher in the local schools to be part of the open house. It's kind of more if you have a heart for kind of these education spaces for children, like in the local community, or if you, that's just something that you feel led to support. And so, yeah, so you don't have to like be like Alan is a teacher, but you don't have to be a teacher to be part of open house either. So just wanted to kind of mention that as well.
Yeah. So Stronghold's going to launch also in July. July 13th will be our first Sunday gathering, and we'll be here at Element. So we would really appreciate everyone's prayers. Pray about whether you want to get involved in some way, or even just prayers for support in this transition for all of us. It would be awesome.
I was going to ask you maybe about something along the lines of, you know, you're starting this military GC, not military GC, but like GC with the focus of reaching out to those military members, but neither of you have specific attachment to the military. And
right.
Maybe just a short conversation about like that.
Yeah. Neither John nor I have any military experience. You know, it's not like we were military brats that grew up or have like family ties either, really. And I think it was a matter of just prayer and discernment and also looking at the resources God had already placed within our group and just knowing the proximity to base. At the counseling center I work at, you know, we often get clients from base that were, and actually the lead pastor at the of the church that hosts the counseling center where I work happens to be a chaplain, and would often ask questions about like how to get them connected to Element because he would refer people here. And so it was just kind of a combination of factors of just seeing the need, of seeing the resources available, and getting strategic about, okay, how can we actually intentionally engage this community?
Yeah, I love that. And I love the notion of like GCs particularly being about where is God leading you, and not necessarily like, how do I fit into this community?
Like this thing.
Like the next step for us, I think, in taking this is hopefully all spirit led, and that we are hopefully going to build relationships with people that need that relationship to help them get closer to God, or can use that community to get themselves closer to that relationship with God that's more meaningful and more robust. And so, you know, I encourage people too, when they're considering to join a GC, not necessarily just to think about, okay, how is this going to serve me, or how do I fit in with this community? But if you join a community, you will fit in, because we all share that same common story with who we are, which is God's children, not necessarily, oh, you have a relationship with the military or you have a relationship with education. These can be missional focuses that aren't necessarily directed towards you, but how can you help in God's mission? My gifts, where can they help out? And the answer is anywhere. Your gifts, whoever you are and whatever GC you're going to join, your gifts will be appreciated and God will use them. But to prayerfully think about, okay, where could I go that I can most serve God, as opposed to where can I go that the group can serve me?
One of the coolest things about the gospel is we all fit in because we're the body of Christ.
Right. That's just an inherent aspect of who we are. Well, thank you guys so much for being here. And I'm excited for all of us, even though there is the ongoing grief and some of the, you know, anticipation about what's ahead. But I love you guys. And it's been so beautiful co-leading with you.
It's been beautiful co-leading with you guys, too.
And we're still leading together now going forward, like in a new way.
Yeah.